Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. It's the Capital Connection this week with New York State Assemblymember Deborah Glick. She's a Democrat, chair of the Committee on Environmental Conservation, and she represents New York's 66th Assembly District. We're so glad to have you back, Assemblymember Glick.
Oh, thank you so much, David. It's always a pleasure to be with WAMC, one of my favorite stations in the country.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, it is something when you have a chance to speak your mind these days on public media. And we're so thankful that you're willing to do it. There are a lot of things on the table right now as we head to the end of session next week. And I know you're particularly excited about the prospect of the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act. You're one of the sponsors, of course, Senator Harkin in the Senate, and it's in the Assembly now. What's going to happen here?
Well, you know, we go around and talk directly to our members, and I believe as a result of those conversations that if the bill was on the floor, it would pass. It's always a question of getting it to the floor and whether there is time allocated for the debate. As many of your listeners who may pay attention to this issue on social media and so forth know, there has been an obscene and scandalous level of lobbying from corporate interests, particularly from chemical companies. And so the effort to stop the bill is enormous. And so what I know from our own information is that it is extremely popular with the public because they know that there is a solid waste crisis. It's popular, and we have the support of municipalities, New York City, the Association of Counties, the Association of Towns, NYCOM, all of these local government groups that have to deal with the problem are on board. And obviously environmentalists and environmental justice people. Who is not with us? Are major corporations and, as I said, the chemical / plastics industry. But I have faith that in the end, the people will raise their voices, call their members of the Assembly, and ask their members to reach out to the Speaker. That is, you know, the way in which things get done, and people power can overcome lobbying dollars.
Well, there is the strength of people power, as long as you pointed out they're paying attention and they understand what the stakes are. So if I'm right, you correct me if I'm wrong, this bill, Assemblymember Deborah Glick, will reduce plastic packaging by 30% incrementally over 12 years. By 2052, all packaging, including plastic, glass, cardboard, paper, and metal, must meet a recycling rate of 75%. It goes on to talk about prohibiting 17 of the package's worst toxic chemicals and materials, including the forever chemicals like PFAS that we hear so much about. And by the way, this is not just an environmental issue, but a health issue. And we know already from the scientists that each of us has plastic particles in our bloodstreams. So the importance of making sure we take care of this waste, those stakes are very clear. Now, on top of all this, if I'm right, Assemblymember Glick, you're also going to have an inspector general with this signed by New York State to keep watch.
Well, let me just make it clear that Senator Harkin, who is actually a dream to work with, last year and the year before met with hundreds of people and representatives from all different industries. And as a result, we made a dozen and a half amendments to accommodate concerns. So the bill originally was a reduction of packaging in 10 years, 50%. That is now a very modest 30% over 12 years. We have taken some of the chemicals off of the banned list. There are thousands of chemicals, and your listeners should know most of them. I mean, we generally would assume that they've been tested and reviewed by the government. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. So what are we trying to keep out of the packaging and packaging that touches your food? Lead, cadmium, mercury, biphenyls, which incidentally are endocrine disruptors. So it's not just the plastics that are a health issue. It is these chemicals that distort your body chemistry. And they are indicators in behavior problems as well as infertility. So there are a lot is at stake. And for us, it's the industry will say, well, it's going to raise costs. Well, there are costs. All of us are paying for the waste disposal, and we have no control over the amount of packaging we receive. We want the product. It comes packaged this way. And there in that packaging are chemicals that may be hurtful to us. So there is a cost to disposing of the waste. There is a cost to our health. And with what's happening in Washington, it is all the more critical that anything that has negative impacts on our health, that we do something about. We've gotten rid of lead in paint. We've gotten rid of lead in gas. We should get rid of the lead that's in the packaging that's coming into our homes and is in the food packaging that we are, the food we're consuming. So I feel passionately about this, but this is the era of misinformation and lies, and they have currency. So we can only combat that with the truth from Consumer Reports, a very independent evaluator of cost. And last year, Kraft Heinz was telling us, you're going to destroy Lunchables. Nobody will have Lunchables in the state of New York. This year, they are not telling us that. You know why? Because Consumer Reports did an analysis and found out that Lunchables had lead and cadmium in them. So they're not raising that issue anymore.
It's really amazing, in this laissez-faire culture that we end up with poisons in our foods and our products. And there's something to this idea in this Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act, as there is in the old cliche, pay me now or pay me later, because we're going to pay more later, aren't we?
Well, absolutely. And people on Long Island will see their Brookhaven landfill is close to closing. And when it does, it was that radical organization Newsday, the newspaper on Long Island, that indicated that when it closes every day, 164 tractor trailers will have to truck their garbage off the island. And where are they going to go? They're going to go through the city of New York, and they're going to go maybe to Pennsylvania or Ohio. And how are they going to get to Ohio? They'll go through Pennsylvania. They'll go through upstate New York. We have a huge landfill, Seneca Meadows, in upstate New York, where a lot of the garbage from my community goes, from New York City. And people there are not happy with living with the largest landfill in the state of New York that has its own environmental downside. So this is, as I said, a modest proposal, one that has tried in every way to accommodate the concerns. But we always say you got to have a little skin in the game. These corporations want no skin in the game. They're the ones that control what packaging comes into our homes, and they don't want to pay a cent to dispose of it. They're the only ones that can make it cleaner. They can make it smaller. We have no control over that, but we are paying the freight. And this is an attempt to create a circular economy, because we say over time you have to use more recycled material. And so right now we want to get things out of landfills. The only way to do it is to reduce the amount of waste we're producing.
We're speaking with Assemblymember Deborah Glick. She's a Democrat from New York 66th Assembly District in New York City. And you know what? It is something that we are in such a divided, politically divided country right now, that it doesn't help get things accomplished, because you would think that, you know, everyone could wrap their arms around, let's make the environment cleaner, let's have cleaner air and cleaner water and reduce the excess waste that we have so much of all around us. And yet what we see is coming from the Trump administration the exact opposite. And it must give power to the wealthy and the corporations to just pursue the end that they want, which is, I don't want to spend any money or any time or energy reducing anything. I want to make as much money as possible as fast as possible.
There's no question that that's true. But all of these corporations, the big multinationals, they are operating in other countries where they do abide by stricter rules. And we are suffering because they don't want to do it here. And the reality is that New York has the opportunity to make a small step forward in cleaning out, reducing waste, cleaning out the most toxic. There's still thousands of chemicals about which we're uncertain. The oceans are filled with plastic. It doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. There may be some reasons to use it in certain kinds of devices, but it should not be single-use packaging. We heard when we banned single-use plastic bags, the end of Western civilization was upon us. Well, we all survived. We learned to carry a bag to the store, and we don't have plastic bags in the trees all the time. So that was an invisible success now. And this, too, will be a minor adjustment, but will begin to move us away from having so much waste going into landfills, which themselves are problems. I just want to reiterate that every attempt to accommodate business has been taken into account, but they have an obligation and a responsibility, and younger people are demanding it. And some companies, startups that are very profitable, are already moving into the reuse and refill space.
Well, you know, it's a modern invention, plastic. We didn't always have it, and we got by without it before. Remember wax paper? Somebody remember, Click?
Yes, we ate before plastic, and we probably ate more healthfully.
Yeah.
The health concerns, the amount of money that people are spending in healthcare is going to expand, and with what's happening in Washington, those costs are going to fall more often on the state and on individuals, because the state can't step in and backfill all of the dollars that the feds are going to eliminate from Medicaid and Medicare.
Well, and I'm wondering how you're feeling, because you can't talk now about what's happening in New York without talking about what's happening in the Trump administration and the congressional level. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but New York has always been known as a blue and in many ways a progressive state. And certainly these environmental proposals and legislation are a means to that end. But yet you can see that in many ways what's happening on the national level is taking steps backward.
There's no question that the Trump administration and conservative politics is about, as you began by saying, laissez-faire, this is about deregulation means not looking over the shoulder of industry in many different ways. And so they want less regulation, which means that the public's health and safety is at risk, and increasingly by actions that are occurring in Washington. And Albany has to step up and say, we can't fix everything, but what we can fix here, we must.
Do you think that the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act will pass in your House, the Assembly?
The question is, will it get to the floor? If it gets to the floor, there is no question that the bill has the votes, unless people are lying to my face, and I do not believe that my colleagues are doing that.
Now, Carl Heastie, the Speaker, indicated it would get to the floor, didn't he?
Well, he was asked early on, how did it look, and he said we'd be fine. So I'm taking him at his word, and I'm taking my colleagues at their word. And if this bill is on the floor, I'm confident it will pass. But we're running out of time, and bills that will engender a debate, we ran out of time last year. We had the votes last year. The Senate has passed this bill twice, not because they're smarter, not because they're more environmentally minded. It is because they have fewer people and different rules, and they had more time on the floor. If we have time on the floor, I'm confident that this bill will pass. But it is at this point in the session, the issue is whether we'll be given that opportunity to have that debate. I know that my colleagues are concerned about the cost to their consumers in waste disposal. Their counties are asking for it. Their consumers are asking for it. This is across the board one of the most popular initiatives in Albany today with the people. And I know that if we get the time to debate it on the floor, it will pass.
Thank you for that. So Assemblymember Deborah Glick, we are on the Capital Connection. I'm David Gustina. Now to the HEAT Act, which has been rebranded the Customer Savings and Reliability Act. It's geared toward helping customers so that they won't bear any costs for transitioning off of gas and difficult to electrify industrial or commercial uses will not have service discontinued. There's been some argument on the oppositional side saying basically, this is going to cost in the end. It's going to be passed on. But we've seen a number of people argue just the opposite. It's going to be savings. Where are you on all this?
Well, right now, let's be clear. The ratepayers pay for everything, and they pay for things that don't make sense. If you want to hook up to the water or sewer line that's in your street, you have to pay for the connection from your house to the water line or from your house to the sewer. Those are homeowner expenses. Or if it's an apartment building. Not so with gas. The ratepayers pay for that. And when the pipes are leaking, the ratepayers pay for that. It is an aging infrastructure and a problem environmentally to have leaking gas lines. It's a safety issue as well. So you have to tear up the street and you have to put in a new line. That costs millions of dollars per mile. It is not efficient. It's not, doesn't make sense. We know we have to get off of fossil fuels. If you put in a new line today, you're looking at keeping it there for 20 to 40 years or more. And that expense should not be borne by the ratepayers. And in fact, in many places, in parts of the state, when a gas line has to be redone, the company is deciding it's too expensive. They are going to assist the homeowners in putting in heat pumps and moving towards renewable energy because that's less costly and more reliable in the long run. So there is, again, petrochemical industry, whether it's gas, plastic, chemicals, they have a vested interest in keeping us on the old systems. And it is not in the interest of the environment. It's not in the interest of our pocketbooks.
Now let's move to a very controversial issue, which has passed both houses of the state legislature, and we're waiting to see what Governor Hochul would do. First, where are you on medical aid and dying? And the governor, of course, not indicating what she's going to do, and we're just going to basically have to find out.
Well, I will say this. Most people have sadly experienced a friend or a loved one who is terminally ill, for whom there is no additional medical intervention that can extend their lives or improve their quality of life. It is and should be up to the individuals to have the right to die with dignity and without suffering. People on the other side say, well, you can have this extended palliative care and hospice care. Well, what does that amount to? That amounts to being lying sometimes for weeks or months under heavy sedation. That's no quality of life. And people should have the choice when they're facing that to make a decision. You can decide to stop treatment. We allow that. We allow people to withdraw extreme measures, feeding tubes or oxygen. We allow that. We should allow people the choice when they are terminally ill and facing an uncomfortable or painful number of weeks or months to decide that now is the time for them to depart with dignity. We do it for our companion animals all the time, as painful and upsetting as that is. It is the right thing to do for them. And veterinarians will always say, this isn't about how you're feeling. This is about what's best for the animal. And I am saying that we should do what's best for people, and that is to give them the choice. People don't have to choose it. That is up to them, but they should have the option. And this is about choice. And I believe in my heart, based on my own experience with family members and friends, that this is the right thing to do. I am saddened that it has taken so long for this to come to the legislature to be passed by both houses.
You think the governor will sign it?
I hope that the governor has sufficient compassion in her heart to understand that individuals have the right to choose whether or not they die with dignity or not.
Well, finally, I wanted to bring this up because it's sad and in the wrong direction, in my opinion. We witnessed New Yorker, of course, icon Harvey Milk. He's an American politician, of course, first openly gay man to be elected to public office in California. He graduated from UAlbany here in the Capitol. And you, Deborah Glick, are the first openly gay legislators elected to your seat. So we're now removing names of these folks from ships and using the language in a way as to punish in what seems to be mean-spirited actions.
The current administration has decided that what they started in cancel culture when they went after a football player who protested the treatment of people of color by taking a knee during the Star Spangled Banner, they have decided that now that they are in charge, they are going to cancel Black history. They are going to cancel gay history. They are going to cancel compassion and empathy. They are going to cancel access to health care. They are going to cancel access to public broadcasting. They are going to cancel access to clean water. So they, who started this notion of cancel culture, and that's wokeness, they have embraced it for themselves. And yes, I'm angry about Harvey Milk, who was a Korean War veteran. But I'm also angry about their attempts to erase Harriet Tubman. And there was enough of a backlash that they had to put her back on a website that discussed African-American history. But then they went after the Smithsonian, and they've gone after the Academy.
Henry Johnson.
They are doing exactly what has been done in the past by demonizing some segments of society in order to inflame hostile emotions on the part of other segments of society. This culture of cruelty, callousness, and grievance will lead to, as it has, division and chaos. There have been more demonstrations and more disruption of civic society, the economy, under this president the first time around and now again. They're just being more aggressive in their attempts to unwind democracy.
I'm afraid that's going to have to wrap it for today. I really appreciate you being with us. She is Assemblymember Deborah Glick, and she is a Democrat who chairs the Committee on Environmental Conservation and represents New York's 66th Assembly District. I wish you the best of luck. We'll see what happens with this legislation, and I know we'll have you back to talk more.
Thank you very much, David. I appreciate it.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.